You are listening to Law and Gospel on KFUO, and today is Wednesday, May the 16th. I'm Tom Baker, and you just heard the Dr. Mark Laverty play. It sounded like a prelude in C minor by Bach. Am I right on that?
You're exactly right. Boy, you know the repertoire.
Yes. Dr. Mark Laverty is a lifelong Lutheran, concert pianist, piano instructor, and also is the music director at Zion Lutheran Church in Maryland Heights here in St. Louis. He has concertized in both the U.S. and Europe, especially at Lutheran churches. And by the way, are you available to perform at any church?
I certainly am, anywhere around the world.
And he can be reached at www.marklaverty.com. That's MarkLaverty.com. Boy, this seems like we just did this on November the 16th in the year of our Lord 2011, because you have with us some familiar faces.
I have some very familiar faces, at least to me, I do. First of all, I've got Zachary Simon. He's one of my piano students. These are all students of mine, three of them. That's Zachary and Cap.
Zachary was the one who built an organ in his basement.
He did.
It's like building a boat and now he can't get it out. Is that correct?
Something like that. He'll have to take it apart.
He'll have to take it apart. Can't take it through the door. Okay, that's Zachary.
And then Catherine Schaum and Roald Schaum, brother and sister.
Roald wasn't here last time.
He was not, but he has made such progress over the past year that we couldn't hold him back. He had to come and play.
So we did have these folks in here on November the 16th, 2011, and they played some piano pieces. And you say they're your students?
They are indeed. Moreover, they are the next generation of Lutheran church musicians. How about that?
Which means
they're going to take my place.
Oh, they're going to take your place.
Yes.
Well, that's not difficult, is it?
I'll leave that to someone else.
No, I tell you, it's really difficult. Yeah, by the way, if you go to lawgospel.com, that's our website for Concordia Mission Society, you will find Mark Laverty's CD on there, which is entitled
Music of Bach.
Music of Bach, and it's a wonderful CD of piano pieces by Bach. In fact, I see it right over here. They keep playing it over here all the time.
For which I'm grateful.
Yes, in fact.
It's also on iTunes and CD Baby and some of the other digital websites.
Excellent. So, what's your goal here today?
Ultimately, to glorify God and to refresh the souls of people, whoever is tuning in today. And actually, that's what Bach said the goal of music is to glorify God and to refresh the souls of mankind.
And what did he often write on all of his pieces?
Well, he wrote in Latin, Soli Deo Gloria,
which
means to sole glory of God.
Yes.
Sometimes he also wrote another inscription, can't remember exactly the Latin, Jesu... Yava or something like that, Jesus help.
Jesus help. This week on Law and Gospel, we've been talking about different worldviews. Like if somebody believes in a flat earth, they're going to have a different worldview of how to sail than they do if they believe in an orb that the earth is. There are such things as different worldviews when it comes to music also. Well, what I want to talk about is the whole idea that Bach's music has been found to really soothe the soul.
Well, definitely so. And this is one of the comments that I get, not to shamelessly plug my CD, but one of the most common comments is that they say they relax when they hear my CD, either in their car or at work or at home. It's just very relaxing for them and soothing. And I think this is one of the appeals of classical music, and in particular with Bach, with his theological character, he can draw people to the Lord through his music, and still does to this day.
I've mentioned this before. In Seattle, in the subways, they used to have quite a bit of crime, and a lot of it was rap music. So they changed the rap music to classical, and it dropped over 60%, the crime did. How do you explain that?
Well, as I just said, I think certain types of music can actually be counterproductive as far as peace and calm and relaxation. And I think sometimes the intent of the music or of the composers is not of the best nature. Let's put it that way, to put the best construction on it. Whereas a lot, if not all of classical music has a different intent to inspire and lift up people. I mean, some of the real, let's just say, raunchy music is really counterproductive to a good peaceful society. And then I should also say, as you probably know, that I think over in Japan, our good friend Dr. Simon Netto. Yes. Has told us and done some research that the Japanese in particular are real big fans of Bach, and it's even brought some people to Christ because they were so fascinated by the complexity of his music and the appeal of his music that they have researched Bach and determined, well, I think I want to believe in Christ simply through his music.
Well, I'm sure they're not sitting here to listen to you and I talk.
No, they are. They are.
Oh,
these
good.
Kids,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I can go on for another hour and a half, and then we can also get the mothers in here. Oh, they just ran out the door. Well, okay. Why don't you introduce the first pianist, Catherine, I believe?
It's Catherine. Say hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Okay. And you are how old?
11.
Okay. And you've been studying with me for 15 years?
No.
No. 2 years.
Three.
Three?
Almost
3 years. Okay, and what are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play the Minuet in G major by Bach and the Musette in D major, also by Bach, and Prelude in C major by Bach.
Okay, and you're going to start with the Prelude. And we discussed the Prelude. Can you give us a little commentary about the Prelude? Why do we have it at the beginning of a service or the beginning of a hymn sometimes?
Well, because it's a prelude.
It's a prelude.
We're on the radio. They don't see you folding your hands.
There you
two.
Go. Well, you can help us with that.
Okay. They're folding their hands in prayer. Is that true? Prelude is...
No, pray? It's just
say.
A little play on words we
yes,
thought you'd enjoy,
say.
But it seems appropriate.
Pray means before and lewd probably.
Prelude, so... why don't you go to the piano, Catherine, and play for us?
So we're going to hear now from Catherine Schaum in playing four pieces. And then at the end of this section, are we going to sing or later on?
At the end of the program.
Yeah. End of the program. Yeah. Okay.
But as she's going to the piano and getting ready, I will tell you that the piece that I played at the beginning is from a large volume of music called the Well-Tempered Clavier or the Well-Tempered Keyboard. A work by Bach that includes in total two volumes of 48 pieces, all in the various keys, major and minor, that exist. And they had just developed a new system of tuning a keyboard, a clavichord or a harpsichord back then, whereby you could then play in any key on the piano, whether it's D-flat major or F-sharp minor. Previously, you couldn't do that because the tuning was such that if you played in an unusual key, it wouldn't sound good, but they came up with a new system of tuning. And so Bach wrote a piece for every key that existed, and I played the Prelude in C minor, and Catherine now will play the famous Prelude in C major.
Thank you.
thank you very much for that. Minuet in G major, that was that?
No, that was Prelude in C major.
Okay, Prelude in C major by Bach.
From the Well-Tempered Clavier, yes. Very famous piece of music.
When did Bach write these? You know what year?
I don't know specifically off the top of my head, but Bach was born in 1685 and lived till 1750. Those dates I do know. And so it would have to be early 1700s.
Okay.
Yeah.
He kind of put together a kind of a liturgical service almost every week at the churches he was at, correct?
He wrote hundreds of cantatas, which are very complex works for orchestra and organ or continuo, and singers, chorus and soloists. And I have to also, in addition to my church, Zion Lutheran Maryland Heights, I'll put in a plug for St. Paul's Lutheran Church de Pere, where you're a member. Dr. Bender over there has often performed cantatas and oratorios, which are just magnificent.
They have a little larger balcony than you have.
Quite a larger balcony, yes.
In fact, you don't have a balcony.
Very, very little balcony.
Yeah, very good. Okay, we're going to talk now with Roald Schaum, and When the Saints Go Marching In is, again, another Bach piece?
No,
oh,
unfortunately.
No, really.
Roald, do we know who wrote When the Saints Go Marching In?
No, but we do know that Luther Presley is credited with writing the lyrics.
Oh, that I didn't know.
He is also thought to be a spiritual.
What is his name?
Luther Presley.
Well, there you go. Another connection with Luther.
Wow.
Luther Presley.
And what else is he going to play now, or is that the
He's going to play the Largo. Well, tell us, Roald.
I am going to play the Largo from the New World.
New World Symphony.
By Anton Dvorak.
Right.
I'll also be playing Ode to Joy.
A little bit later in the program.
Yeah.
Right. And tell us about When the Saints Go Marching In. Everybody might know that, but tell us what the context of that song is.
It talks about the saints when they go marching into heaven.
Into heaven.
And the bells in heaven chiming.
There you go.
For like
that's actually the Sunday school lesson for the following Sunday, not this Sunday, Revelation. We're going to be talking about that. So, would it be great to hear him then?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
And like I say, he was not here on November the 16th. How long has he been studying with you?
I think it's about a year. Yeah.
Somebody's whispering from the back. Who's
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Roald's mother. I think it's been about a year. Last June, I think. I think it's last June, I think, is when he started. He's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit.
He's ready to go. Go ahead.
Okay. Roald, go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Roald does have a couple comments he can make about the Largo, and specifically about Anton Dvorak. Can you tell us some things about Dvorak, Roald?
Can move over. Anton Dvorak was a Czech romantic composer who is famous for his use of folk music melodies. He lived in the United States from 1892 to 1895. Largo is from the New World Symphony.
Yes, Dvorak was interested in our country, which was to some degree considered the New World as far as the Europeans were concerned, and so he made a tour over here, and I think he spent 3 years, and he was so impressed with the beauty of our country, he wrote this huge symphony referred to as the New World Symphony, and what Roald played was the melody of the slow movement of that symphony, and it's a beloved melody the world over.
Well, before the break, we do want to get Zachary in, don't we?
Yes, and he's got a lot to talk about.
I imagine. So, Zachary, in case you hadn't listened to us on November the 16th, Ashley did build an organ in the basement. And do you also build gumball machines?
Well, yeah, I've made a gumball machine out of Legos and a bazooka bubblegum machine out of Legos as well. And they do accept money. So.
Oh, but do you get a bubble gum out of it?
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I've used it twice already. He brings it to his lessons. And
Oh, it's portable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and how come we don't have it here so I can have one?
Well, I didn't think about that.
Oh, that's fine. All right. What would you like to say before you play this strain? How do you pronounce this, Zachary? Solfeggietto?
That is pronounced Solfeggietto. It was written by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, which is Bach's son. And what the piece is, it's a technical piece that displays the chords, arpeggios, and scales that there are.
All right. Well, we're going to look forward to hear you play, and then we're going to talk to you a little bit more after the break. But Zachary Simon. You're only 15 years old?
Yep.
Wow, imagine how well you'll play when you're Dr. Lavery's age of 62. That is something. Oh, wait a minute.
82.
Oh, 82, excuse me.
Not.
So, tell us a little about your home organ.
Well, it's very small, that's for sure, and took me about, well, last month it would have been 3 months, but I'm going a little over schedule, so... Well, yeah, I went to Wicks Organ Company in Highland, Illinois, and they have been really supportive of me, and they have given me, like, some free stuff here and there. They've given me some really good prices on some stuff. So then I took it home. I did some research, figured out how to put everything together, and then just went from there.
Wicks Organ was our organ company at St. James Lutheran in University City, where I was for a short time of 28 years, and they would come out and tune it. Are you able to tune organs?
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you can build one, you must be close to being able to tune. Maybe they'll give you a job there.
Well,
they went out of business, didn't they?
Well,
oh, Wix went out of business?
Yeah.
Well, not completely. So. They don't build entire organs. They just, like, provide parts and services and stuff.
And they still tune?
I believe so.
Yeah, because they would always come to St. Louis from there.
Now, Zach, give us a concept of your organ. How many octaves or how many keys does it have? It's not really that small. It's a fairly substantial organ.
Yeah, it's...
Actually, we're going to talk about that because the break is on right now.
Okay.
So, when we get back from the break, we're going to start off with another piece by Dr. Laverty.
By Chopin, called the Butterfly Etude.
Okay, and so please stay with us through the break.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
Thank you very much, Dr. Laverty. That was one that I recognized immediately by Chopin, called, if I remember, it's Caterpillar, correct?
Well, not quite.
Oh, well, is that Caterpillar?
The outcome of a caterpillar.
Oh.
And
it's called?
The Butterfly Etude.
Oh, so you're doing the resurrection part.
Yes, there you go. And that's, I tried to tie in some Chopin with our program today, and with the Christian context. So, and actually, the Butterfly Etude, it sounds a little butterfly, nice and cheerful and easy. That's one of the hardest etudes in Chopin's.
Okay,
opus.
What does etude mean?
Well, etude is a French word, and it just means exercise or study to develop your fingers. But during Chopin's time of when he was living, pianists and other musicians would be in their studios, and they'd practice all these exercises and scales to develop their fingers so that they could play the real music. Well, Chopin said, no, I want to create an etude that's technically difficult and challenging in some aspect, but that you can take onto the concert stage. So they technically call it a concert etude, whereas a lot of other etudes are just referred to as exercises, and you wouldn't play them on a concert stage. But these are very special. He wrote 24 of these, actually 27 in total. There's two sets. There's 12 in Opus 10, and there's 12 in Opus 25, and I just completed all 24 of them. So.
By memory?
Yes.
That's just.
And I hope to record them soon. And actually, this butterfly etude is one of the easier ones.
Really.
And it's primarily on all the black keys. And your fingers kind of, you can almost get the imagination of a butterfly flitting around as it does its work.
Well, it sounded like the piece played by Zachary was an exercise for fingers also.
Yeah.
It is. It's well, do you have some information on the solfeggetto? What's a solfeggetto, Zachary?
Well, like I said before, it's a piece that displays chords, arpeggios, and scales. And it's a really good exercise piece.
And because Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach was the son of the great master, he was no small composer himself. As I recall, he may have been the court musician for the Queen of England many years. It may have been his brother. I can't recall. He has so many children. It's hard to keep track of them all.
Were they all musical?
Most of them were, yeah. Mm-hmm. And very
Being
good.
Being musical, is that something you're kind of born with, or could you learn it?
Well,
my
experience as a teacher and as a musician, of all the students I have met over the years and taught, I would say it's got to be in the upper 90% who can play music or sing. It's only been a tiny percentage, 3 to 5%, who they just cannot get it. And I just can't help them, yes. For some reason, there's some kind of block, but it's a great majority that can.
At least to some level, but not to a concert level.
No. But as you may recall, when you were living back in the 1800s, the piano was very common. It was the predecessor of the television. And sad to say, the television has kind of replaced the piano in the living rooms of society. And so now we have people sitting around instead of actively entertaining themselves and learning a skill on the piano.
Okay, it looks like we're going to hear from Roald again?
Yes.
And can you explain, this is a guy named Beethoven? Is that how you pronounce his name?
No, Beethoven.
See, I even got you wrong now. Beethoven, that's correct. Thank you. Okay, tell us a little bit about what you're going to play here.
What's his full name, Roald?
Ludwig von Beethoven.
Ludwig von Beethoven. Wow. And what's the piece you're going to play?
Ode to Joy.
Ode to Joy. That's a pretty familiar one.
Yeah.
Where is that piece of music? How did we find that?
Well, it's in the Symphony Number 9.
Yes, right.
Symphony Number 9. You know, there's a movie out on that. It's called The Copyist. And what it is about Beethoven's, I guess, once he wrote something, it had to be copied for all the instruments.
Yeah, he would write the manuscript, and then there were professional copyists who would make it easier to read for the musicians, because a lot of times the composers, they write so fast, you can't even you can't understand and comprehend what he's
writing. Now, a lot in the movie is made up, I'm sure, but they do have a section where they play part of that symphony, and it's just glorious. It just is really, because they have a huge choir there with it too, and then in the middle of it comes this Ode to Joy.
Yeah.
Partly through. And it was one of the symphony conductors, I believe of the St. Louis Symphony, said that this is the best piece ever written, which was kind of interesting.
That would be hard to argue with. I remember Classic 99 used to put out a list of the 100 greatest hits, I think, of classical music, and I would be surprised if it's not in the top 10 of all favorite classical pieces. And as you know, and as most of us know, the Lutheran Church has included this melody in a hymn in the Lutheran service book. So Roald is getting his first experience with that, and hopefully in 5 or 10 years he'll be playing for a congregation.
All right.
You ready, Roald?
Yes.
That's Roald Schaum, who's 8 years old. And his sister, who is with us, who's about to play again, is Catherine, and you're 11, right, Catherine?
Uh-huh.
And what are you going to entertain us with?
The Minuet in G.
The Minuet in G major?
Yeah.
And also the...
The Musette in D major.
Yes. And she's going to tell you a little about... These are both by Bach, okay. And you're going to tell us a little bit about the Musette, are you?
Uh-huh.
Musette, that's spelled M-U-S-E-T-T-E, and what does that mean?
Well, it's a dance of the 18th century, distinguished by a drone in the bass line, imitating the instrument known as the musette, which is a bagpipe-like instrument.
Oh, a musette is a kind of a bagpipe instrument?
Yes, yes, and the piece... you would often play a musette with a musette. And where did this piece originate? What country?
France.
Mm-hmm. Was it used in any kind of dancing?
Yeah, it was sometimes used in French ballets.
French ballets. And Bach wrote it? He was never in France.
Well, no, but Bach actually wrote a lot of music in the French style because France was considered... You know, the, what do you say, the New York of culture back then. And
yeah.
So it was very stylish and sophisticated to write music in a French style. The French were considered very progressive and refined. And composers of different countries would borrow that music. I play a French suite in G major that is borrowed from French styles.
So we're going to hear from Catherine Schaum, Minuet in G major and Musette in D major.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Catherine. We certainly appreciate hearing that. And by the way, in the studio right now, we have your mom and dad, don't we?
Yeah.
Martha Shum and Reverend Charles Shum. We really like your dad. You know why? He was the editor of a great law and gospel book that just came out recently and worked quite a bit on it. And it's just really appreciated by our members. In fact, at my store, Charles, we sell the book. We got a little reduction because we bought so many of them. But it's a reader's edition of C.F.W. Walter's Law and Gospel. And we... Dr. Laverty, we got to say something about law and gospel because this is what the program's about. and so I wanted to bring that in. But more, and by the way, you can get that book from Concordia Publishing House, and all you have to do is just phone them. And the number is 1-800-325-3040. But in talking about what we were discussing earlier about worldviews of music, would you not agree that some music is better suited for law kind of message and others for gospel kind of message?
Boy, I haven't thought about that.
Well, speaking of organist Bender, it's really interesting when he plays a piece and the verse talks about the devil. He's got all kinds of new notes in there that aren't really part, you know, and it just sounds, ooh.
Yeah, he knows how to, they call it tone painting.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, I think that's the term for it, where the music describes whatever the text is, whatever is occurring in the text. And, yeah, Dr. Bender is a master, and whenever I'm on break from Zion, I like to attend with my family over at St. Paul's de Pere because, as I've said before, the music is outstanding. And, yeah, he'll, if there's, I don't know, a mention of a statement of faith, like I believe in Christ or something, he'll emphasize that by just playing the melody. Or if there's a dark side, Satan,
yes,
he'll play all the wrong notes instead of the right notes.
Yes,
so that you,
that's the point I was
so you don't just sing right through the hymn and forget about the text.
But there's some music, like certain forms of rap, that just bring up the old Adam kind of emotions. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
In contrast to much of Bach. So I wanted to ask Zachary, by the way, in the notes here, what was this about the Scottish Rite Cathedral and the City Museum Theater organ?
Well, at the Scottish Rite, there is a giant concert organ. And a friend of mine, he is restoring the organ there because it was built in 1926, and over the years it's just like been abused and has been deteriorating ever since. And he's going in there, he's invited me to help him restore the organ. And he also works at the City Museum because there is a pipe organ at the City Museum. It's a 1924 Wurlitzer, and they salvaged it from somewhere, I don't remember where, but he is... The organ is already set up, it's playing and everything, and he just keeps it running, like, keeps it in tune, and, yeah, he lets people play it, it plays every once in a while, so.
Well, I think we're going to be moving into some hymns right now, Dr. Laverty.
Yes, as a church musician myself, with some Lutheran students, I thought that I'm compelled to teach them hymns, and we just started that, actually, earlier this year, and... We're still in the season of Easter, so Zachary's going to start us off with I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
And what verses are you going to sing?
Well, we're not going to sing with this one. He's just going to play his rendition of a verse or two?
Two verses.
good.
And that was I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and you said it was his rendition.
Well, he added some extra notes, as you may have heard.
You tell that.
Yeah. And now Catherine is going to play Beautiful Savior, and I guess if the audience at home has a Lutheran service book or any hymnal that has Beautiful Savior, it's LSB 537, and we're going to sing along with her on two of these verses. So
first two verses.
Yes, go ahead, Catherine.
Thank you very much. We only have about 4 minutes left to go, and I know you wanted to do the Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
Yes.
Yes.
But I also want to do an Ascension hymn.
Ascension hymn.
So I'll close out the program with Jesu, and we'll just do a couple verses of the Ascension.
Okay. And
is
then
all right?
We'll be potting you down.
Then what?
We'll be potting you down because the program will be ending before you're done.
Okay, that's fine.
But you just keep on playing because we'll listen.
Okay, so...
A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. That's hymn 493 in LSB. And we're doing the first two verses of that.
No, the first verse and the last verse.
Oh, first verse and the last verse. Okay. And that's by Dr. Mark Laverty. And remember, you can get a hold of him at www.marklaverty.com. And we'll be concluding then with his playing Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.